I thought, you know, come prepared. Okay, there we go. Preach like this, huh? I was going to make a cheesy joke of, you know, come forward and be cleansed, but I thought that's just silly. That's, you know. But aren't you pleased, you know, 2 or 3 years ago that we kind of slowly kind of got rid of the whole passing the peace. I know you guys were like, oh, we love the passing the peace, but now you're welcome. Okay, now you're welcome. But it made me think, you know, we're going to start being creative in how we kind of greet each other, you know, with all this kind of coronavirus scaring going on, you know. No more of the handshakes, no more of the hugging. You know, we need to do the holy fist bump, okay? Or the righteous kind of maybe hip thrust. I don't know, you like somebody and you kind of walk by them, you thrust your hip at them, I don't know. Or if you really like them, and I think maybe try this on, I don't know, someone like Cam Mitchell, because we really like Cam Mitchell, is give the hallelujah kick. If you really like that person, you know, your feet are fine. So just give them a nice little kick, and then it's all good. But it's kind of interesting with all this, the fear of the coronavirus going on. You know, I think, why is it? It's almost the fear is growing faster than the actual coronavirus, right? It's that kind of spreads quicker and faster and is probably doing more damage. In fact, the news in the UK, the headline in one of the newspapers this morning online I saw was, coronavirus will kill at least 100,000 people in the UK. That was the headline. And I thought, well, that's kind of a big number. But you know what they're doing it is to get their attention. Because let's face it, if the news headline was 100,000 people will get the sniffles, it's not really going to grab the attention. Because the attention still is, there's a fear. There's a fear of death that is still prominent. Now, hey, I don't want to get the flu. No one likes getting the flu. So sure, wash your hands, do all that kind of stuff. But it's not so much the getting sick that people are concerned about. It's the numbers of, there are so many X amount of people dying from this. There is still this fear of death, that people are going to do all sorts of crazy stuff to prevent themselves from coming near this new thing. I mean, the flu's been around for a while, but I guess this new type of flu that is ultimately going to, for some, lead in death. And it made me think this morning, not just kind of make a little joke about it, but linking into actually what we're preaching about. Jen last week in the parable that she spoke on started talking with the reality of, each one of us is going to die. Now, there's the pride part of me that's like, I might be around for when Jesus returns, so I don't know. I still got a bit left in me, you know. But the reality is, whether it's coronavirus, whether you do make it to when Jesus comes down, or for any other reason you die, one day we will stand before God. And so the parable that we're looking this morning, as we've been going through our journeys of parables, very much talks about the what happens when we will come before God. No matter how old you are and what event takes place to get you there, you're before God. And so the scripture we're going to be reading this morning is in Matthew. It's in Matthew 13. And Jesus is just prior to this parable in verse 44 is kind of talking about using similar illustrations to kind of say the same point. But we're going to use the parable of the net. And it says here, sorry, it's verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time and this day. And Holy Spirit, as we just look into your word right now, I pray that you lead, that we just dive into you, that we grow in you. And God, I just pray that you speak through me, and despite my weaknesses, that this be all yours and for your glory. God, we just give you this time. In your name, amen. Like I said before, this parable, Jesus gives a couple of other parables to kind of illustrate this point that he's talking about. In fact, a couple of parables prior to this, he uses the wheat and the weeds parable, where a farmer has all this wheat planted, and then the enemy, he says, an enemy comes in and scatters all these weeds amongst the wheat. And so some come to the farmer and say, what should we do? And the farmer says, well, let's just let them grow up together. And at the end, we'll cut them down, sort them out, burn the weeds, and use the wheat. And Jesus says, and that's exactly how it's going to be when you face your Father, is there will be sorting that will happen. And then Jesus uses this fishing net. He uses a lot of parables that were very prompt for the day, relative for the day. Those fishermen, they fished. He uses fishing for other illustrations too. And in this example, there's a fisherman, he lays down his net. Pretty obvious, pretty simple. Fish go into that net. All sorts of fish go into that net. Every kind of fish go into that net. The net is picked up. And then the fisherman has a job of sorting out the good from the bad. And Jesus is saying that's what's going to take place, is that we will face him and there will be sorting of the good and the bad. And I don't know about you, but often when I think of this parable and think of other messages like this, a kind of first thought is, well, I hope I'm a good fish. I hope God knows that I'm a good fish. I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. You heard that saying before. I'm a good Christian. You know, I read my Bible and I give, and you know, I don't swear, or I don't do this, or I don't do that, or whatever it might be that you know, kind of have your gauge of what a good Christian is. You know, I go to church. I went to Sunday school this morning. I did everything good. The good thing is we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about whether God knows if you're a good fish or a bad fish or whatever. In fact, the good thing with God is he didn't have to wait until you stand before him to know who you are. Psalm 139 says this, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. So even before we get to that stage of standing before God, I mean, you may live this life right now where you go, I go to church, I put my church face on, and you could be embedded in whatever sin. You're fooling me, you're fooling the person next to you, but you don't fool the ultimate fisher. You don't fool the ultimate farmer. You don't fool God, who is knowing your thoughts. He's knowing your words. He knows your desires. So even before we get to stand before him, he knows you. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to say, we don't have to do any of that, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. You see, and the beauty is, and the grace of it all, is for us as well, whilst we live, we have a good indication of what kind of fish we are. The scriptures give a pretty good health check of actually what God's asking us to do, what God's looking for. And I mean, just to really summarize the good fish, bad fish, if you'd like. I mean, we got the whole scripture, but really just to summarize for us, what I see from reading scripture, what God is looking at is, one, do you love the Lord? Do you believe? do you follow? Are you somebody that when we read scripture goes, I want to soak that in. I want to surrender to this. Now there might be battles, there may be struggles, there may be slips and slides, but my desire is I do want to surrender my will to fall into God's will. And it looks a little messy and all the rest of it, but that's the desire. That's the growing. I think the other aspect of a good fish is actually someone who's not a distraction to other fish knowing God. If we're teaching stuff that we don't know because we don't read, or we're saying that I'm a Christ follower, but actually people are seeing something totally opposite in you, you're being a distraction. Because other people are going, oh, that's what Christianity looks like. I'll just do the same. Being misled. We kind of excuse ourselves by saying things like, oh, I'm just not a very good Christian. I'm a bad Christian. I read scripture and I'm going, I don't really see a good Christian versus a bad Christian. I just see a Christian. I think God just lays it out. This is what it means to be a follower. Are you following or are you not following? And what does that look like for you? And I think the other important thing to know is this isn't for us to look and point fingers at other people. This isn't for us to look and go, oh, yeah, I wish that person would get their act together. You know, they're clearly not doing it right. We also have to look at the other parables that we're looking through. And I have to say, I'm very fortunate. I was born into a family of parents who believed, who did a pretty good job and still doing a pretty good job of living out their faith. I had a good foundation to start with. And it's down to me to grow into that, not be lazy with that. Some of you, I totally appreciate, did not start off with that foundation. So yeah, life looks a little bit different, a little more messy. But I think it comes back down to this. Are you desiring to surrender? Are you actually putting that into practice? Are you growing? Are you willing to be willing to pick up that cross? Are you willing to deny yourself and to follow the ways of Jesus in your life? Thankfully, it's not the pastor who does the sorting, and it's not the person sitting next to you that does the sorting. It's God who does the sorting. And I think when we look at this, and I think we pretty much got it. I think we understand this is a fairly simple parable, but a simple parable that goes pretty deep. And in fact, actually, when I read this parable this week, an illustration jumped to my mind, and it was from a film. And we're actually going to watch this film clip. It's like 2 minutes long, and you'll know the kind of films that I watch because it's from Finding Nemo, this great, deep, theological sound, Finding Nemo. And just to set the scene of the clip we're going to watch for 2 minutes, in this film, spoiler alert, they find Nemo. If you didn't know that, well, you probably don't care to know that. But they find Nemo in Finding Nemo. And after they find Nemo, then they kind of lose Dory. Not before the second film where they really lose Dory and they make a film out of Dory. But in this clip, they lose Dory and she finds herself in a bit of a predicament. So this is the clip we're going to watch. Thank you. reason this came into my mind when I was reading this scripture is when Jesus says about we're in this net, we're in this net together with all different types of fish. We're in it together. And how many of us are like spiritually like this? Spiritually going, just keep away. Keep myself to myself. Don't want to be influenced by these people. Don't want to associate, keep, you know, kind of smother, kind of like, just so you can hear me, kind of like how Nemo's dad was like, Nemo, don't go in there. It's dangerous in there. Here's the thing. God has called us to be a light. God has called us within this net that we're in to be an influence, to point people in the same direction, to point people the way we live and by our words to Jesus. Now, the reality is life isn't a Pixar movie. And yes, well done Nemo, and he got everyone pointing in the same direction. But you may not get the thousands that you may talk to and have influence with in your life all pointing in the same direction. You hopefully have a few. That'd be awesome to get all of them, but for sure, there are many in your life in the net that we surround ourselves in our communities are swimming in all kinds of directions, fighting for survival, fearing death, fearing whatever it might be, putting priorities in this and that. But if us as believers who love God are so just rooted in, to use that term, so in love with what we are living and experiencing, then surely we're going to want to be that influence in the net. Now, we shouldn't fear being amongst people that don't believe or may do different things, because we should be so enrooted to God, so connected to Him, that we walk without fear of going in our minds and in our hearts going, there's nothing going to separate me. So I can have friends who are not Christians. Shock horror. I can talk boldly to them about my faith. I can be willing to look a little different, because ultimately I desire for them, like Nemo desired for Dory not to be in that situation she was in. Like we desire for our friends, for our families, our colleagues, or our neighbors, whoever it might be, to one day when they stand before God, to be seen as a good fish, to be seen as someone who follows and loves a God. And they need us to be the ones who aren't just talking it, but they're living it. This week I watched a YouTube interview with one of Canadian's finest, Justin Bieber. You export some great things. Oil, Justin Bieber, it's good. Anyway, and I watched this interview with Justin Bieber, and he was talking about his faith. And so that's kind of what grabbed me to this. And so I thought, okay, I'll watch this 5-minute clip. If it's longer, I wasn't going to watch it. But 5 minutes, that's got my attention. And so the interviewer asked Justin Bieber, okay, why are you a Christian now? And Justin Bieber, do you all know who Justin Bieber is, by the way? Okay, because some of you are looking a little confused. Okay, all right, that's fine. I wasn't going to explain anyway. And Justin Bieber, this guy, said, well, in my life growing up, I knew many Christians. Or certainly I knew many people who called themselves Christians. But he says, they weren't living it. So for him, he said, that was, or in his mindset, Jesus, their examples of Jesus, was pretty much phony. People call themselves Christians, but actually doing the life stuff that he was doing. No different, but just preaching. And so he saw it was totally contradictory. He saw it was phony. He said it wasn't until that he actually met some genuine people who actually were living out their faith, that saw this hope, this joy, something different, this light in them, that really made him go back to the basics and go, well, maybe this is something that's not just a religion. that's not just something these people talk about, that this is real. And he said it wasn't until that moment that he actually truly gave his life to Christ. And he talks in this interview about experiencing peace, about experiencing joy in his life. And I thought it was a pretty cool interview. But I thought this so typifies us in this net that we're in. Of actually, what kind of influence are we? Are we actually pointing people to Jesus? The way we live, the way we talk. First, you got to get yourself right. First, you got to get yourself connected and rooted. And you know, when you're in that net, and when you're actually desiring to evangelize, sharing the good news, it gets messy. You're dealing with stuff in lives. It's hard. But this is the part that I love so much, is that ultimately, remember whose net you're in. Remember whose net you're working in. You're in God, and he is with you in this to cry out to draw strength from, to get ultimate direction from. So whilst we're in this net together, before we face the ultimate fissure, let's do our part. Rather than hide away and put our spiritual masks on and sanitizer and go, whoop, keep myself away from these terrible sinners, is go, actually, I've got God as the ultimate immunity system. Well, that's cheesy. I'm keeping it, though. And we're able to get in there, like Nemo, into that net, into the messiness of lives, being a light, seeing lives transformed, and then seeing one fish after the other pointing that direction is powerful. But it first starts with us allowing ourselves to be transformed by the love and the grace of Jesus, which is there for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us such beautiful, clear pictures and messages of life, of when we're before you, of the kingdom of God. And thank you for just painting it out for us just to be obedient children. And I sort of pray, Father, that we are just obedient children to you. I pray for those in our nets, in our communities, Holy God, that those people that you can just put on our hearts and minds right now, that you want us to be an influence. And not just give us the right words and the cheesy talk about who Jesus is, because often people have heard it, but they've not seen it so much. So I pray, Jesus, live an authentic life in you for each and every one of us. To set our own roots into you. To fall deeply in love with you. And then not just be a natural fire that just breathes up. And all that we come in contact with at home or wherever, I could just sense something different. And it's you. Thank you that you do love each and every one. And that you do call each one to you. And we want and desire for each one to know you. God, you're awesome. We thank you. Amen.